Yesterday night, I put before you what is spirituality. So spirituality is to know the spirit in man and your spirit overhead. For that, it is basic teachings given by all masters who came in the past. Those who have met them, they gave them a demonstration of who we are, what we are. All masters, whether of the East or the West, both, first thing they gave out was, man know thyself. We are who we are conscious entities. We are in soul bodies. We have got body, we have got intellect, we have got outward faculties. But to know ourselves, we will have to divest ourselves of all outgoing faculties. Yes.
Separate these a little bit so we can raise all the volumes.
All right. So knowing oneself means a matter of self-analysis. How to liberate ourselves from mind, outgoing faculty. As I explained to you last night, that we are conscious entities under the control of mind, mind under the control of outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are dragged like anything from the outer enjoyment. We are conscious entities, but identified with the mind, outgoing faculties, body and the world around us, so much so that we are self-autonomous. So spirituality means we dying our conscious self from the mind, outgoing faculties and body and all around us. It is matter of pure self-analysis, rising above body consciousness, knowing oneself that we are carrying the factory of the man body. So the outer expression of the soul is called attention. These different departments of the body, which are sight, hearing, touch, taste and smell, these only work when our attention is with them. So if we draw our attention from these, with our open eyes we cannot see, with ears open we cannot hear. When we eat also, when the attention is absorbed in something else, you don't feel any taste. So spirituality is the conscious knowing about the conscious self, which is driving this whole machinery of the body and its different departments. That is to know oneself. Social body came into being, as I told you, when the masters left the scene to keep their teachings alive. So social body came into being. So long as they are made with a very noble purpose, so that many people may derive benefit, so long as the practical people were there, people were able to derive full benefit of knowing oneself, and also that old self which keeps us in the body control, and that power which controls all the universe. For want of practical people, the same good old custom terminated, deterioration passed. We forgot we are what we are. So we reach to the conclusion that spirituality is not bearing the different labels on the man body we chose in which school we are learning to know oneself and to know God by self-analysis. So it is the basic teachings of all masters. When the society came into being, naturally God had to be made. How the society can be run without laws. The differences in the outer forms of religion is due to either narrow-mindedness, bigotry, or climatic influences or the customs prevailing. I'll explain all this to you last night. Now the question arises, we need teachers in any subject we want to follow. You follow that the true education of the child commences from there, from the womb of the mother. Whatever thoughts of the mother are, they are impressed in the child within the womb. Then comes when he comes out of his womb, then parents, fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters teach the child, their teacher. When they grow old, school teachers come up to train them, to teach them. Or in the outer subjects which relate to the outgoing faculties, mind and intellect, there we need somebody to guide us, those who are adept in that life. If man wants to be a wrestler, he will go to the feet of a wrestler. If a man wants to be educated, higher studies, he will go to a teacher. Similarly, any subject that we have to take, we need somebody adept in that life. Similarly, all these subjects which I refer to relate to the outgoing faculties, our body, our intellect. Then we do need someone to guide us on the way, but in the way where all philosophies end, there the religion starts. I submitted you last night, the word religion means lead it back, lead it to bind. To bind back our soul by withdrawing from outside and contacting the controlling power which is called God into special power within our own self. This is a subject where also we need somebody. We will adapt that way. Call it by any name you like. When out of pursuit, we do need somebody. Why not in a case which starts by rising above body consciousness? And the first step is there. How to withdraw from outside, how to rise above body consciousness, how to have a leap into the beyond, and what to do thereafter, do we not need anybody? It's a matter for common sense to decide. Now in the terminology of the saints, the word teacher, the word guru, the word master, these things are used there. They say without a guru nothing can be done, can be no problem. Now I have to dwell on this subject. Who is a guru? Who can guide us both ways in the worldly affairs too, and how to rise above body from the objective side into the subjective side? Rise above body consciousness to transcend into the beyond, and also guide us further in that way. So if we are to learn that teachings of the Master which they give, there must be somebody who is a dead man, dead man. So what the masters have been defining this word guru or teacher or master, I'll quote you from different masters what they thought about it and what we are taking it to be. Guru Nanak was asked, who is your guru? And he said, Shabad is my guru. So what is Shabd? Shabd, God is a Shabd. God is wordless. When it came to being, it is called Shabd or word. The Shabd stands for the power, which God into expression power, which is maker of all creation and controlling all creation and permeating all creation. So that power is the true Guru, which controls all universe and so controls us in the body. This is what Guru Nanak said. Then came up Kabir. He says, I have been sent from God to bring you back home. He does not say, I am God, I am the messenger. Prophet Muhammad also had to say the same thing. So all others, they say they are the messengers who know the way back to God and have been authorized to take you back home. So, 10th Guru was asked, who is your Guru? I simply quote these things to you so that this word Guru or teacher or master, what it does it stand for and what are his qualifications. He said that the one who existed before this world came into being, when he came to expression, that God into expression power is my Guru. He has quoted his previous birth also, refer to previous birth, that place has been found even now. He says, I was there, past birth, I was so much absorbed in God and so much in that intoxication that I would not like to leave that place, and God ordered me to come to the world. I said, God, what will I do? Because my mind did not like to come up here. But I was ordered, then asked me what to do. He said, most of the people that have sent to the world, they have only worshipped, God worshipped their own selves rather than me. Now Christ came, he always referred to the Father who has sent him. He said, I am the Son of God, that's why I am sent by God, you see. Well, Kabir also said, I am the messenger of God. Prophet Muhammad also said the same thing. He says, who I am? He says, I am the servant of God and servant of you all. I am sent here to see what is going on in the world below. So take me as your helper, as your, what you say, to help you your way back to God. So I am sent by God. I am not the God. Then he gave very strong admonition, because that was the custom. You see, generally, we take those people who came here, they take as God. He says, whosoever tells me that I am God will go to hell. So that to avoid those people from misunderstanding that the people have got at large. So you will find that God into expression power, which is controlling all universe, and controlling us in the body too, as I submitted yesterday. This is a wonderful house in which we live in. There are so many apertures in this body, but we cannot run away out of it. That keeps us controlled in the body. So body works so long as we are in the body. We leave this body only when that power leaves us, is withdrawn. So we have to leave the body. So, wherever that resides in every heart, but in which he is manifest, overflowing, he is called the Guru, he is called the Master. He will become the mouthpiece of that power working through him. As Guru Nanak said, I am the mouthpiece of God. Christ said, I am only carrying you what the Father has told me to do. Go back home. We do have respect for all these, you see. Who can unite us with God? Is there no father, no brother, no parent? But that God with his special power, where it is manifested, given a commission to bring back his children back to home, that is him addressed as a Guru or a Master. So for that reason, what is the criterion of such a man? He will only withdraw your soul, your attention of the soul from all outside and from the body below, bring it to the back of the eyes, which is the seat of the soul in the body, and there he will connect you with the God into his special power, the two phases of which is light and sound. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Who, with all your attention from outside, enables to hear that God into special power which is sound, peaceful, going on in the world, which is music of the spheres, which is called Nada, which is called Kalam-e-Kareem, who makes that sound audible to you, he is called a Master. Paltu says, when you in the body from above, who that withdraws your attention, soul from the body, and gives you contact with that hearing of that Nada, the voice of God, is a Guru. Then what brings you in contact of the sound? He says, open your inner ears to hear the sound principle reverberating in all creation, resembling like a bell. Now you see, in our outer worship, we light the candles, we ring the bells. In our churches, temples, mosques, they are made after the manner of man body, and there they put in those symbols, two symbols of light and sound, to show that such like light and such like sound is reverberating within you. Withdraw your attention from outside and hear that sound coming from the heaven. That you cannot hear, that light you cannot see, unless you are withdrawn from outside and rise above body consciousness. The one who is competent to give you this contact of the two aspects of the God into special power is called the Guru. The word Guru means who removes the dark veil from before your eyes and manifests the light of God. That light of God and sound has different stages. According to the densities of the planes beyond, there are so many mansions in the house of our Father. Just think for a moment what I am placing before you. What is the terminology of the saints means Guru or Master? So, all masters say like that. That's not only the thing what you should see. So, Guru, what is it? He is the Word made flesh. It is a link between man and God. Who is competent to withdraw our attention, which is the outer expression of our soul, from all outside, from the body below, give you a demonstration of that, how to rise above body consciousness, and give you a contact with the light and sound principle within you, and you bear testimony that you see light. You bear testimony that the sound principle is going on. Who can do that? None they shall tell us what. Don't believe in the words of a guru or a master unless you see for your own self. You bear testimony that they are right. They are something. So these are the things which are all masters said. You know, Christ also said that I must work the work of Him that has sent me. While it is day, the world marked the day. Day means alive. And the night cometh when no man can do anything. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. These are the words of St. John. Read it. I mean to say, to place before you, what the people are with in great misapprehension, what this word Guru or Master stands for. It is something who himself rises above body consciousness and makes you rise above it, gives a demonstration of it, and you bear testimony, you are not the body. You bear testimony, and these things are given in our scripture. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. These symbols are kept in the temples, churches, other holy places of worship, of the model of man body, that such like light is within you and such like sound is vibrating within you. So, the same has been said by all masters when they came in one social body or the other. Such like masters have been coming from time to time to guide the child humanity back to their father's home. Who is competent to raise our attention from all outside, raise us from the body below, open our inner eye, and we test you as there's light inside. That's the lowest grade, of course, but that will grow more and more as your eyes above plane. There are many mansions in the house of my father. Others say macrocosm is in the microcosm. So we have been given bodies to work in those planes. We now work in the physical body. The light is covered by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 covers. You see, the light is not there, but as you shake off one cover, you see some light. If you shake the other cover, there is still more light. If all covers are shaken off, you see full light. Those who see the full light, he is called a khalsa, he is called a true sikh. Those who see that light, he is called the truly a Hindu. Those who see that light, that is truly called a Muslim. And those who see that light, they are called true Christians. Not by the outer labels that we are carrying of one religion or social body or the other. By joining that, it means we have joined certain school of thought to see the light of God. That school is creditable, it turns out many students like that successful. So all masters, they say the same thing. And that power never leaves us. That is called Christ power, God power, or Guru power, or Master power. That never leaves us to the end of the world. But so long that power works at the human pole, he guides all child humanity. As I just quoted, that I could work when it is day, when I am alive. When the night comes, nobody can work. So I am so long, as long as I am in the body, I am the light of the world. This is all as the Master said. So this generation goes on from posterity to posterity. That's the system of God, you see. This what you carry on. At one place, you remember, Christ said, well, I will send that Holy Ghost to guide you further later on in the world. So world made flesh is the Guru. You see? Who is conscious of that power working through him. He knows what has been given, what Christ and others say. He says, I am doing that work which God has told you, my Father has told me to do. They've got some plan before them. They see and then say. So this thing goes on, you see. Demand and supply, name goes on. One bulb is fused, another is put on. Light is the same. That light, world made flesh, never leaves you. Here and hereafter too. So our masters tell us, or I take to the feet of somebody who is taught, who is a guru in that sense of the word. Not, we are also, you see, respect all those teachers who give us, at whose feet we do learn so many things out of. We are respect for them. But this is something which starts where the world class is end. When you rise above what you say outgoing faculties, the mind is skinned. There the religions are. Religion means remains that leads you to bind. Like yoga. Yoga means you join your soul with God. God into special power mind that, not God absolute. God is special power is the way back to absolute God. That has got two aspects. Light and sound. You catch, can ride on the ray of the sun, where will it lead you? Lead you to the ray from where, sun, from where it emanates you. So all Master says, the world made flesh. I and my Father are one. The world was with God, and world was God. How creation came into the world. And the world was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. All these are quoting from Bible and others too. What is Naam, or word, or kalma? Naam is a place, or Shabd is a place, from where all this emanated, this creation of the world came into being. And when dissolution comes, this just results into that, again new world begins. So that power is God's word, or Naam, or Shabd. Who is the mouthpiece of that power? He is truly respecting. We can derive full benefit from him by his presence. Guru Amar Das, for 70 long years, after search for God, he came to the feet of such a master. He said, it is of very great fortune that I such meet, met with such a living master. Of course, it is a great blessing to have a living master. So, this is, what is the job, you see, generally? Kabir says, these men two appear to be two. God-man, God in man, and that power of God into expression. In appearance, they appear to be two, but the other is the mouthy of the first one. So, all masters say like that. Mala Rum says, the God sent us to the world. He came himself into the world, took the form of a man. He has sealed our eyes and ears there, so that may not see, and may not hear. Here he comes in the form of a man and takes up those seals from our eyes and our ears. This is what Christ also said, others said. I have come to make those who do not see, see. These are the terms, you see, that can be understood when you sit at the feet of some practicing master. The basic teachings of all have been the same. And when you meet such a master, he never leaves you. Here and hereafter.
Good evening and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you listened to was the first 30 minutes of Master's talk called Man, Know Thyself. It was given on October 9th, 1972 in New York. Our reader tonight is Rick Casey. Hello, Rick.
Hello, Christine. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, sounds good.
Very good. Well, tonight I'm going to continue reading from the book Prayer, picking up slightly before where I left off last time in chapter 21, The Advantages of Prayer. Prayer has in it a great dynamic force. It strengthens and befits a person to face and fight the battle of life fearlessly and successfully. It is, in fact, the only panacea for all types of ills, adi bhutak, diseases and ailments, adi devak, accidents over which man has no control, adi atmak, evil propensities of the mind, and above all, brings in inner peace and satiety. It buckles a person with courage and fortitude and brings about a complete reorientation. Prayer is the key that unlocks the kingdom of heaven. It pulls up the sluice gates and releases from within immense power and resourcefulness. Where all human efforts fail, there prayer succeeds. Lord Tennyson tells us, more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Even if prayer may seem to fail to avert calamity, yet it has the power to take the sting out of it. With an inner transformation, there comes a change in the angle of vision which greatly affects the outlook on life. Everything puts on a new mantle of color, superbly divine. Last but not least, prayer opens our eyes to reality and enables us to see things in their true perspective. It gives new values to life and gradually transports an individual into a new world and initiates him into a new order. With a life of prayer, a person eventually rises into cosmic awareness and sees the hidden hand of God working out his will and his purpose, which otherwise remains a sealed book too subtle for the average man to pierce through and peep into. The more this inner contact is established, the more Godhead is imbibed by the Spirit. Only when a complete identification comes about does one become a conscious co-worker with Him. Next chapter, 22, Gradations in Prayer. In the course of time, an aspirant begins to feel more and more the need for spiritual uplift than for mere physical comforts. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, we have this prayer. From the unreal, lead me to the real. From darkness, lead me to light. And from death, lead me to immortality. As soon as an aspirant begins to have inner experience, all worldly enjoyments lose their charm. Having had an experience, howsoever little, of the unchangeable permanence, he now finds no pleasure in the ever-changing objects of the world, subject as they are to gradual decay, disintegration, and ultimate dissolution. He asks no more for physical comforts. What shall I pray for when nothing is permanent? Kabir. The whole world is slavishly mad, following the Epicurean principle, eat, drink, and be merry. None has time to think of God and the inner self. But nothing in the world holds any attraction for a true aspirant. He makes best use of whatever comes in his way and works but to satisfy the bare needs of his body and spends the rest of his time in sadhana, spiritual discipline, so as to derive the greatest benefit for his soul. For times without number have I drunk life to the lees. Without thy saving grace, O Lord, Nanak hath no release. Guru Arjan. Hereafter, the aspirant lives just for the manifestation of Godhead within himself and to sing the glory of his name. Let the lotus feet of the Master rest in the heart. Let the tongue repeat his holy word. To live a life of constant remembrance, nurture ye this living temple of the Lord. Guru Arjan. While on this path, the pilgrim traveler realizes his ignorance, and knowing his incapacity, extends to God his hands in prayer. O Lord, make me swim safely to the other shore. I know not swimming. Extend to me thy hand of help. Namdev. As his angle of vision changes, so does the nature of his prayer. At first, a person prays for the fulfillment of his physical needs. But when one starts on the spiritual path, he prays for the removal of such obstacles as come in his way, for example, sense turmoil, mental chattering, ingrained karmic impressions. This period is most critical in the life of a sadhak. Until actual self-realization, he is in a state of perpetual restlessness, tossing back and forth. He belongs wholly neither to the world nor to God. While in the eyes of worldly people, he is a man of piety, yet in the heart of his heart, he knows he is full of iniquities. Farid the sinful is still robed in black, though the people address him as Darvesh, Farid Sahib. In this state of uncertainty, the sadhak at times tries to snap away and escape from the struggle. But after a time, the inner urge once again comes upon him, and he takes courage and starts Godward. Should a traveler while traveling fall down, there is nothing to wonder and cavil at. O Kabir, one who sits and starts not on the journey has an immeasurable distance yet to traverse. But until a person is able to subdue his senses and sensory organs and rid the mind of oscillations, the kindly light of God does not dawn upon him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If then I be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Christ. He who controls his 10 organs, heaven's light dawns within him. Guru Arjan. The wiles of the mind are both very subtle and risky. It often lies in ambush and makes its inroads when least expected. The ingrained evil propensities, though invisible, are very strong, and time and again they come to the surface to deliver blows which often prove fatal. The coil strikes out like lightning, with such sharp and sudden twists and turns that man by himself is helpless in its clutches. Here comes the need for the long and strong arm of the Master, which stretches forth with equal agility to his rescue. Subdue the mind with the power of the Master. Swami Shiv Dayal Singh. Mind cannot come to rest unless it is overshadowed by the power of the Master. Maulana Rumi. The sleeping mind comes to its own by constant thought of the Master. Guru Ram Das. Next chapter, 23, What to Ask from God. A lady on marriage entrusts her all to her husband and gladly accepts the new mode of life, whatever it be. Now, nothing else appeals to her but him. It is for the husband now to provide all her needs and to look after her comforts. Render unto him all that belongs to him, and make his will thine own. In return, he showers his blessings manifold. O Nanak, he is ever so merciful. He who has him as his boon companion, he stands in need of naught. Guru Arjan. Once a certain king intended to go abroad. He inquired of his queens as to what gift each of them would like him to bring for them from the foreign lands. One of them asked for costly jewels, another for rich apparel, and still another for cosmetics. Some asked for fineries, and others for delicacies, etc. The youngest of them, who loved the king most, requested his early return, so that she would not have to languish long in his absence. The king, on his return, sent the various gifts to his other queens, and himself went to the palace of the youngest, and was highly pleased that there was someone who loved him the most, much more than his riches and wealth. The queen, too, thanked God for her good fortune, that her husband was with her, and that she needed nothing else. The rest of the queens, though each one of them had got what she wanted, had not the good fortune to claim their husband's attention. All their riches and gifts availed them not without their beloved. In exactly the same way, we, through short-sightedness, ask from God or God-man for trinkets of no consequence, and not him and his saving grace, and like the different queens in the parable, suffer most the pangs of separation. All the riches of the world fail to give the least satisfaction. On the contrary, these things distract us from the truth and make us more miserable. If we could but win his grace, we would then be in want no more. All his riches come to us automatically without asking. even if they are denied for one reason or another, it matters not, for without him and his love, they are dirty trash. All riches and fineries befit him who has won him, and even without them, what care if he were to live in poverty? Guru Arjan. Our most elementary needs are of the body, to wit, food, clothing, and shelter. For these things, we strive hard, working madly and restlessly from morn till night. We sacrifice our very self to procure these comforts, if any comfort they provide. Do we not realize that when a child comes into the world, his life plan is sketched out beforehand? Without this, nobody would be here at all. With destiny all shaped, the mold is cast, and the spirit enters therein, ready to take his life's journey in the world. With a predestined plan, one comes into the world. O Tulsi, with all this, the mind does not accept it. Dame Nature now gets ready for the royal reception of the Prince of the Universe, providing milk in the mother's breast, shelter in the mother's lap, and an army of attendants to attend to his minutest needs. The powers of nature mobilize all their forces to claim the prince child as their own. But as the child grows and develops into adolescence, begins to feel the life impulse surging in him, the world as a foster mother claims him as her own, and he fondly clings to her and her gifts, forgetting his native and prenatal home in heaven. Heaven lies about us in our infancy. Shades of the prison house begin to close upon the growing boy. Earth fills her lap with pleasures of her own, yearning she hath in her own natural kind, and even with something of a mother's mind, and no unworthy aim, the homely nurse doth all she can to make her foster child, her innate man, forget the glories he hath known in that imperial palace whence he came. Wordsworth. Again, all the gifts of the world are purely ephemeral. They are always in an unstable and changing state. Nothing is permanent. Everything is subject to decay and dissolution. Momentarily, things appear and then recede back into the fullness. In the twinkling of an eye, the world itself sinks into the great deep. Kabir. Amidst the ever-changing phenomena of the world, there is but one unchangeable permanence, and that is God and God in action, the Holy Spirit, Kalma, Nam, or Word, responsible for the creation, sustenance, and dissolution of countless universes. Why then should we not long for, ask for, and pray for that imperishable life principle, so that we too may have life everlasting and come to our eternal heritage, the everlasting Godhood, which is our birthright? Listen ye to the call of the hollow man. Manifest thyself, O Lord. Nanak has humbly reached thy door through the grace of thy devotee, Guru Arjan. Our native home is in Sach Khand. Ages upon ages have gone by since we parted from the Father, and we are still in exile in this world. The soul that rises with us, our life star, hath had elsewhere its setting and cometh from afar. Wordsworth. We must then yearn for a reunion with the beloved, separated as we are from him for myriads of ages. For ages upon ages have we been separated. Unite us unto thee, O Lord, through sheer compassion, if thou wilt. We have wandered high and low in all points of the compass. Now keep us, O thou, under the shadow of thy holy wings. Guru Arjan. In countless births have I wandered away and away from thee. This human birth I have dedicated to thee and staked on thee. Ravi Das now lives in hope to meet thee once again. Ravi Das. Guru Amar Das therefore prayeth, through innumerable gyres have I gone without rest. In thy mercy, O merciful, grant me the boon of thy manifestation. Guru Arjan prayeth, many a birth I had in various species. Every time I had to undergo many sufferings. Through thy grace, I have now a human birth. This, then, is the time to manifest thyself unto me, O Lord. Lift me, O Lord. I have fallen at thy door. Accept me in compassion, tired as I am of my wanderings. Savior of thy devotees, save the sinners as well. I know none besides thee to offer my prayers. O ferry me safely across the ocean of living matter. The soul pines in the separation of her Lord. Even if she is not worthy of the Lord, she prays for union with him. All are blessed in the love of their Lord, but I alone am the unfortunate one. So filled the spots through and through. My consort does not like even to see my face. Guru Amar Das. Meritless as I am, I intensely pray for my turn, O Nanak. All the spouses had thee in abundance. Spare a night for me as well. All the maidens have gone with their spouses. Where should I, the unfortunate, turn my face? With my parents, I was the light of their eyes. But woe unto me that my Lord looks not at me. Guru Amar Das. Kill me, if thou wilt, but turn not away. Hug me to thy bosom. Listen ye to my prayer. Just look this way and earn my gratitude. Why kill me by turning thy face away, Kabir? Thirsty as I am for thy sight, my mind calls for thee in agony. I pray to thee, O formless, and crave for thy mercy. Life is worth living with thee before me. Be merciful, O sweet beloved, and drive away all doubts and delusions. I earnestly beseech and pray for just one thing. I make a sacrifice of all my wealth and possessions for a union with thee. Guru Arjan. What may I ask for and repeat unto thee except that I hunger and thirst for thy sight? It is through the word of the Master that one reaches truth. Nanak, therefore, praise for this alone. I have just one submission, and listen ye to that. Certainly thou art great, compassionate, and immaculate. Guru Nanak. We never remember thee and waste our life in fruitless pursuits. Nanak saith, O God, remember thou the pledge of redemption, regardless of our defaults. Thou art the abode of all virtues and Lord of us all with no virtue in us. No bondsman can praise thee enough when he holds even his body and life from thee. Thou saved me from the hellfires. I have taken shelter at thy feet. Thou art the only stake of my life and honor. I depend on naught else. Great is the Lord, boundless, infinite, and ineffable. O Nanak, he is the savior of all who take refuge in him. I pray to thee, O Lord, of body, mind, and soul. O Nanak, it is his greatness, else none knew me before. Guru Arjan. Thou alone art the doer of all things. To whom then should we offer prayers? Guru Nanak. Helpless are we, and merciful art thou. What can we, the sinners, say unto thee? In spite of our broken words of no meaning, accept us and grant us the gift of perfection. Ravi Das. Thou art the woof and warp of my very existence. I therefore pray unto thee alone. I have no other place to turn to for worship. I place all my comforts and discomforts before thee. I cannot do justice to thy greatness, for I am an ignorant fool. O Lord, redeem poor Nanak, for he has taken shelter at thy feet. Guru Ram Das. Again, we have in the Sikh scriptures, we, the ignorant, insensate, and devoid of all virtues, have taken refuge with thee, O primal being. Through thy boundless grace, O Lord, save us in spite of our shortcomings. O God, have mercy and ferry us across. Save us with the help of thy melodious song. We are bogged in the mire of infatuation. O extend to us thy hand and pull us out. Guru Ram Das. Look ye not on my merits and demerits, but forgive me my faults, O merciful. How can the clay toy be washed clean? That indeed is the fate of all human beings. O Lord, be thou compassionate on the orphan at thy door. Sustain him in the blind well of the body, for he is imbecile both in mind and intellect. We are the great defaulters and sinners with a galaxy of thefts to boot. Now, Nanak is at thy feet, O Lord. Save him as thou wilt. Guru Arjan. O Savior and Sustainer peerless, listen ye to me. O Nanak, the ignorant and the foolish never think of him, nor do they know the pitch dark night in which they live. Guru Nanak. I have no virtues of the body, or of the mind, and have come from afar. I have neither riches nor beauty. Save me, the homeless one. He who slips at every step cannot escape on his own account. O Nanak, he may forgive and pilot me across in his divine mercy. Guru Arjan. Well, I have come to the end of my time. I was reading from the book Prayer, Its Nature and Technique, chapters 21 through 23, partially. Thank you, Master, for everything.
And thank you, Rick, for reading Master's gracious words to us. There were 53 participants at tonight's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Divine Master, for your loving guidance and blessings.
Prayer, you see, with prayer you can do such things which you cannot even dream of, you see. Where all human efforts fail, there prayer succeeds, you see.